want to give you a scripture that God gave me during praise and worship, just maybe for some of you here, maybe for someone watching online. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear carries torment." Fear carries torment. That's what that means. And God wants His children to know that you don't have to live in fear. You certainly don't have to live in fear of punishment. But perfect love casts out fear. None of us have perfect love. So you're never going to reach that point. You're never going to reach that level. Perfection means completeness. But God's love, the love that Jesus has for us, is perfect. And His love casts out fear. There are a lot of ways fear can come into our life. We can have fear of retribution. We can have fear for our relationships, fear in our finances, fear for our health. But perfect love casts out fear. There's one thing that always works, okay? There's one thing that always works: love. Love always works. The Bible says love never fails. So I want to encourage anyone who is facing something that wants to constantly bring fear into your life, that is not for the believer. Now, that's not that we're not going to face fear. It's not that fear is not going to come our way, and or we're not going to have seasons where we walk through dark valleys. But I want you to know this: perfect love casts out fear, and fear brings torment, and our God, He's not into torment. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good. I went to district council for the first time in almost 20 years. District council is when all the pastors in the state get together and we take care of business. It's like a business, like our yearly business meeting here. We have a business session where you take care of different business. And the pastor of pastors, the guy in the state that we pastors look to as our pastor, is called our district superintendent, and he gives us a word. And so it was really different for me to be there, after being out of ministry for a long time. And I kind of associated district council with that preacher stuff. And I'm just kind of not into all that preacher stuff. You're like, "But you are a preacher," but y'all kind of know me, right? But they did have a crawfish boil on the afternoon. And I just told Pastor Scott, I said, I hadn't been to a district, who is the district superintendent. I said, I haven't been to a district council in about 20 years, but this is what brought me back. So good job. So we got to eat some crawfish. And you know what? I really did enjoy being back at council. And one of the cool things that happens is, indirectly, people come up to me and talk about you. Because they say, "Wow, I hear you guys are tearing it up down there. I hear a lot's happening down there." And I go, "Yeah, the people are awesome." And so word gets across the state that we're reaching people, that people are getting saved, and our body of believers is growing. And then they say, I get to talk about staff. And not only do I have the best children's church pastor in the state, I have one of the great spiritual leaders and pastors, and he's worked in the district, and everybody just honors and reveres Pastor Don Logan. He's on staff. And so all these guys are looking at me like, you're out of ministry for 12 years and you come back, and this is what they said this week. This is what I got to hear: "How in the world did you get Trey and Allie Head?" They're like, how'd you do that? I said, look, two things. First of all, people are lining up to work with me. Number two, they're lining up to do the gosh life, right? No, I told them, hey, I can't explain it, but God has put together a great team, and I'm excited about that. And that was an exciting part of district council, to literally be asked, how did you get Trey and Allie Head? Is Pastor Logan still there with you? I'm like, yeah, he's still here. As a matter of fact, I have something on my... As a matter of fact, I have something on my resume. Not that I need a resume, but it's going on my resume that when I preached the Lizard Life sermon on a Wednesday night, Pastor Logan came. I don't know if it's okay to tell this, but I'm telling it, Pastor. So he comes to me. He comes to me a couple of weeks later and says, "Hey, don't go over there to Bayou Blue and preach that Lizard Life thing because I preached it to the senior adults over there." And I'm like, "Yes." That's going on my resume. Pastor Don Logan used one of my sermons. Yeah. Or a plaque on the wall or something. So I had a good time. Our district superintendent always gives a word to us pastors, and it'll be preached all over the district. Some men will preach it as a word, and some men will preach it because they got them a sermon out of it. But either way, it'll be preached. And he challenged us that the enemy wants to segregate us. We talked about multicultural ministry. He said the enemy wants to separate us. And one thing that I've taught you from day one is the enemy wants to bring division in the ranks. If he can divide us, if he can bring division, then he wins. And that's why Jesus told us, be one like me and the Father are one. I want you to be one with me and one with each other, because Satan cannot defeat oneness. When we're one, he can't weave gossip in. When we're one, he can't weave in unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, things that the secret things that we hold against each other. That can't happen if we're one. So he's going to try to separate. And then Pastor challenged us not to settle. Segregate, separate, and settle. Those are three things that the enemy will try to get us to do. I want to challenge you. Let's don't settle, okay? Let's don't settle in. Let's stay excited. I'm still excited about what God has for your life. I'm still excited for what he has for Life Fellowship. We are literally just getting started. We're just breaking a little bit into the edge of what God has for us. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you from missing it personally. Remember what Mordecai told Esther. He said, "Esther, if you're not a part of this great thing God is doing right now, it's going to get done. God will raise somebody else up. So you could miss your time such as this." So don't miss your time by letting the enemy cause you to be separated or settled. Don't let the attack that has come against you, that has come against us, and I can promise you we've all been under attack in some way. We've all had failures in some way. Whoever is without sin, go out there in the parking lot and get you a handful of those rocks, and you can come in here and throw rocks at the rest of us sinners. Right? Nobody's getting up, right? Okay. Now, if you just want to throw rocks at me anyway, that's between you and God. Deal with it. I don't even want to know about it. The Bible says, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone," is what Jesus told those that would judge. So I want to encourage you. I told Pastor Logan when I walked in, I said, "Well, you know I'm preaching on segregation and separation and settlement," but I'm not. I'm just giving you that word because it is a good word. And the part that really challenges us is one of our core values is the we factor, and it's oneness. And I want to encourage you not to let that separation come in. Okay. God's will. How many of you believe, and you have notes tonight? By the way, I'm going to start trying to do that a little more, and on Sundays, at least have something that you can take with you and put on your refrigerator. By the way, side note, when I was a youth pastor, I would tell my kids, we had it was in Lake Charles, I had a really large youth group, and they were always going on vacations in different places in the summer, and I said, "Hey guys, bring me back a refrigerator magnet. I would love to know where you go this summer." So, you know, if they went up to Maine, I would have like a little moose head from Maine, or, you know, just different things, Mount Rainier, a mountain or whatever. So I saw online that one of our moms Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Can I tell it? Because she's in the service. She's okay. I got a little video. Mom and daughter was locked out of the house one Sunday, and they couldn't make it to church. And the little girl said, oh, I wanted to go to church so that man, she couldn't think of my name or call me pastor. He said, so that man can tell me I'm pretty. I'm going to tell you something. There is a sermon in that. Women, that never goes away. Men, that never goes away. That's what our women want to know. Am I pretty and am I worth fighting for? It's a whole nother sermon. But so I saw them that they went to Disney World and had this great vacation because we can know everybody's lives from Facebook. And so I sent a little message. Would you bring, I know it was terribly selfish of me, but I said, would you bring me back a refrigerator magnet? And so I got one to go. And so every time I look at that, I remember your trip to Disney World. All right? I remember how blessed and how cool that was. So I'm just asking y'all, if you take a trip, bring me, but listen, bring me back a flat magnet. I'm even going to be particular because there's these kinds now that's got these springs and stuff on them, and I'll have a whole refrigerator just doing this. And these are cheaper. Don't get them inside the park. You know, stop at the gas station in that area and get them. See, save yourself some money. All right. Let's see if we can get into the Word tonight. It's great to come on Wednesday nights. Here, if nothing else, I always pray that you get soul rest on Wednesday night, that you come in here and your mind, your will, and your emotions can rest in the presence of God. And hopefully you'll get a little Word to encourage you too. All right, so let's talk about God's will. It's something that that we wrestle with sometimes. We don't understand. Why is it God's will for me to go through this hard thing I'm going through? Have I been living in God's will? Does he have a plan for me? Two things really in God's will that you need to know tonight. One is God has a personal vision for your life. He has a personal vision for your life. He told Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. He told him, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So there's one thing that you can know. God has a personal vision for your life. And one of the most important things that you can do with your life, or the most important thing that you can do with your life, is live within that personal vision and purpose that he has called you to. And a lot of people are trying to go to church. They're trying to have a relationship with God, but they're not living in their purpose, and they're miserable. They're miserable on their job. They're miserable in their relationships, and there's just misery all out through their life because they're not doing what they were called to do, okay? Here's the next thing I want you to know about God's personal vision and plan for your life. He wants you to know it more than you do. You say, boy, I'd really like to know that. Well, guess what? God wants you to know his personal vision for your life even more than you want to know it. Those of you who are parents, perhaps you can relate to that. Because we want what's best for our children, right? And most of the time, we want it more than they do because they can't see what we see. They don't even know their potential like we know their potential. So in just that small point, you can know he wants you to know it more than you actually want to know it. So when we're talking about God's will, when you get ready to do something, a lot of times you were brought up like, don't just jump into that. You don't just make a decision. You seek advice. You find an expert. You find out someone who knows what you're dealing with, or you seek counsel. And sometimes it's easy to find out the will of your parents. You can call and your parents will tell you their will, okay? Sometimes it's easy to find out the will of a friend. You can get their will. But a lot of times it's hard for us to know what the will of God is. And so really, maybe it's not always the answer to slow down, you know, get advice from everyone else. Perhaps we miss an answer in that we need to know what God's will is for my life or for this situation. Okay, so what if I said this? When it comes to God's will in your life, you are the sum total. Your life is the sum total of the decisions you have made. Your life is the sum total of the decisions you have made. Now, I've heard that statement a long time ago, but I want you to think about that. Is that true? My life is the sum total of the decisions I've made. Really? I believe it is true. I think that's how it comes together. We are affected, and we could at least say our lives are shaped by the decisions we've made. Has your life been shaped by whether or not you decided to, who you decided to marry? Has that shaped your life? Pretty good decision there. Whether or not you've made a decision to take care of your health, whether you've made the decision to get an education or to take this job. So when it comes to making decisions, since our life is so shaped by that, shouldn't we have a source to go to that helps us in making our decisions? Because when we talk about will, we are talking about our decision-making process, okay? So what I'm asking, when I'm asking for God's will, I am asking for His decision in my life. Not my own, but I'm asking for His decision. Okay, stay with me. Just building a little foundation here, all right? So at this point in your life, why would you seek God's will? What, right now, where you are, whatever season, why would you seek God's will? I gave us a few to think about. Maybe it is, I have a specific issue, and I need help making a decision right now. That comes up in life, right? I need to know what God's will is for this particular decision. Should I ask her to marry me? Is this God's will? You know, a lot of times we have done things without asking God. And we get into situations, we get into relationships, we get into financial trouble, we get into a lot of trouble sometimes just because we didn't ask. We didn't let Him help us make a decision for a specific purpose that we're going through, okay? Here's another reason to seek God's will. Maybe I have made poor decisions in the past, and I'm interested in repairing the damage and avoiding future pain, both mine and others. Could that ring true? Well, I look back at some of the decisions I've made, and I'm like, what were you thinking? Remember how I've told you before, we've all had times where we sit down and said, that was stupid. That was just stupid. The spirit of stupid came over me, okay? And now I'm ready to say, God, how can I walk in Your will and make decisions that line up with Your personal vision for my life so that I'm not hurting others, I'm not hurting myself, and I'm not delaying what You want to do through my life here on earth? What is Your will for my life, and can I stop? Can I repair the damage? Can You repair the damage? Can You help me not only repair the damage, but avoid causing future damage? Then there's another reason perhaps to seek God's will, and that is because I want a good long-term plan for my future. I want a good long-term plan for my future. If you are young, like PJ and Chris back there, hey guys, they weren't doing anything wrong. I just wanted to call them out. One of them's my favorite kid in the whole church. I'm not going to tell you who it is. If you're young, wouldn't it be awesome for our young people to decide at an early age, I want a good long-term plan for the future? Adam, don't feel bad, man. Any other young person in here, you're all my favorite. You're all my Henry, it's okay, buddy. Don't sit there and get all huffy or anything. Of course, that would be great for a young person, but here's something I love. No matter where you are in your life's journey, it's not too late to get a God plan for the future. The older I get, some of my favorite characters in the Bible are characters like Samson. Because we think Samson was a hero. Samson was a loser. Samson did not use his gift the way he should. He was constantly messing up. He was constantly messing up. But in his death, right there at the end, he had the greatest victory he ever had right there at the end of his life. Some of my favorite characters, as I've told you before, as I get older, is the thief on the cross, a lifetime loser. But he looks to God. He looks to Jesus and says, "Will you remember me?" And now we don't know the thief on the cross as a lifetime loser. We don't talk about, I don't even know what he was being executed for. All I know is he was with Jesus in paradise that day. I love the parable that Jesus tells about workers coming into the harvest and how there were some that came in right at the end of the day. The sun was about to set. And he says, they got paid the same as those who came in early in the morning and worked all day. What are you saying, Pastor Keith? Are you saying it doesn't matter how we live our lives? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of pain and a lot of loss and a lot of regret in being a lifetime loser until the grace of God and the blood of Jesus covers that. And you realize, you know what? It's not too late for me to have a future with God. So I want to know what God's long-term plan for the future is for me. Whether I have 20 years to live, 40 years to live, whatever it is, we don't know. But I do know I want to walk in God's will. Okay, so let's look at something right now and seeking God's will. Let's look at something right up front. If I am going to have God's will working in my life, there's something that he wants first, okay? There's a prerequisite. That prerequisite is control. If you just want to write that out in your notes to the side somewhere, God wants control. Now, how many of you know we want to fight him for control? Our flesh wants control. We want to do it our way. But the reason he wants to control is not so that he can put demands on us. It's not so that he can steer us like robots. It's because he has the great plan for our life, plans to bless us and give us a future. Jesus came and said, look, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest, but first you're going to have to give up your control and give me control. Look at Psalm 119:10. It says, I seek you with all my heart. If you want to get God's will active in your life, here's a first step. I am going to seek you with all my heart. You are going to come first in my life. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let that be the first thing that comes in your life. So the psalmist says, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So if I'm going to get God's will in my life, and we're going to talk about the commands in a moment, seeking God in my decision-making process has to become paramount. I want to tell you, I have not always done this. I still do not always do this. But sometimes if we will just stop and ask, the answer will become so abundantly clear because we know God, okay? And just saying it out loud, well, okay, let me ask. Now, Lord, do you want me to get mad and cuss this person out? Do I really need to hear an answer from that, you know? Lord, do you want me to go on this website and look at pornography? No. So how am I going to know his will in some situations? We're going to know his will automatically because we know him, okay? And the way that we know him is, I am going to seek him with all of my heart. What is the last thing that you did? Now, here's something you can take home with you, and this will work Thursday morning for you, okay? What have you done this week to seek God with all your heart? What have you done to knock on a door? What have you done to seek him? What have you done to search him out this week to let him know, I want you in the middle of what I'm doing. I want to be in your will, okay? All right, now let's look at this. We see God's will displayed in the Bible in three different ways in our lives and in the Bible, okay? And now these specific terms aren't necessarily used in the Bible, but you can see this is how God's will works, okay? The first one I want us to look at is the providential will of God, all right? There is a providential will of God. This is God's will that will happen no matter our decisions, all right? So we said that our life is made up really as a sum total of the decisions we make. Are you with me? Okay. We teach Wednesday nights about going a little bit deeper. Y'all with me? Y'all going to go deeper with me? Okay. The providential will of God is this is God's will that's going to happen, that it doesn't matter what decision you make. His providence, he's all-powerful, all-knowing God, and there are some things that are going to happen. It doesn't. Now, it may not happen in your life, but it is going to happen, and some of them will happen in your life, too, because it's his providential will. Let me give you an example from Galatians 4, verse 4 through 6. But when the set time had fully come, now this is God's will, when the time has come, when it's time for God's will on earth to be enacted, you can believe it's going to happen, right? When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. All right, so here's one thing that you can know is the providential will of God. It was his will to send salvation to earth. There's no decision that you could make that could stop the Messiah from coming. See, it was God's will that he send his son, that his son die and be raised from the dead and provide salvation. Okay, so there are some things that you can know about God. Through knowing who he is, then we know that his providential will is always going to be enacted in our lives, all right? Here's something you can know about providential will, all right? It is always going to be his will to love you no matter what, right? That's his problem. It doesn't matter. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. You can't make a decision that separates you from the love of God. Right? Well, Pastor Keith, are you making that up or is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible. The Bible says that neither life nor death, nor demons, nor angels, nothing, sword, famine, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you can make a decision that keeps you from being unaware of that love. You can make a decision not to walk in that love. You can make a decision not to receive that love. You can make a decision whereby you don't feel the closeness and the presence of God. But you can't do anything to stop the providential will of God happening on this earth. Okay, so that's God's providential will. He's coming back, all right? It is God's will that Jesus return and rapture the church. There's no decision that you can make in your will to stop that from happening. So do you understand that? Okay, so that's providential will. Then we have the moral will of God, all right? This is enacted through obedience. This isn't so, oh, well, if it's providential will, then we'll just let everything happen. God's good. He forgives. He gives grace. No. Then there's the moral will of God. This is where I choose and I make decisions. How do I know how to make a godly moral decision? Once again, first of all, I need to understand his moral will. Here's a really good example of the moral will of God, the Ten Commandments. Listen to this. You shall have no other gods before me. That's God's will for your life. Oh, well, Pastor Keith, I don't worship any other god. I worship Jesus. Oh, but do we really, or do we worship money? Do we worship Jesus or do we worship leisure? Do we worship Jesus or do we worship our kids or do we worship? Okay, I'm going to get off that because you shall not make idols. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Has it been a long time since you've heard these? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you can't cut your grass on Sunday. But it does mean that there needs to be a time and a day in every week where you set aside for to receive divine favor, to worship, and to rest. Remember a Sabbath day. Jesus, this is the only commandment that Jesus spoke to that doesn't carry the exact same meaning as it did in the Old Testament, because Jesus explained that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And he purposely healed and he purposely worked by pulling an ear of corn to show that it's not about the law, it's about the cease. Sabbath means cease. Are y'all with me? So he says, remember to cease. Remember to stop what you're doing on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, because he established this in creation. I want you to stop on a weekly basis, one day a week, and I want you to worship, I want you to rest, and I want you to pursue my divine favor. Does that make sense? So I can know God's will through the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. If your mom's alive, when's the last time you called her? Well, I know what I'm doing after service. Honor your father and mother. That still matters. Well, Pastor Keith, my parents were crackheads. My daddy, I don't know. There's a difference between honor and respect. Perhaps you can't respect some of the things they've done, but you can honor the fact that they're your parents and you can treat them with the honor that God has told you to treat them with, right? Getting quiet in here. You shall not murder. Oh, finally I get a break, Pastor, because I've never. Whew, thank you. So far I haven't killed anybody. Unless you want to include the murder of the tongue, then, you should not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Man, don't be calling the law and telling them your neighbor's trying to kill his dog down in the ditch. That's that poor girl. What's her name? Stephanie's not here, so that's horrible for me. She's visited once. She'll never be back, but no, she's going to be back. And don't covet. Don't covet. Do not become so dissatisfied. Do not lose peace in your life because you want more. That's really what coveting is. We think coveting is looking at what somebody else has, and I want that. And well, why do we want it? Because we see what everybody, it really is. Look what the world has to offer, and we can literally lose our peace over coveting. Okay, so the moral will of God is pointed out in his word, and it matters. It matters. None of us can keep all the commands. So this is what Jesus did for us in the moral will to help us make moral decisions. He said, I'm going to sum up these commands for you, and I'm going to show you how to be motivated not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal, not to bear false witness, not to murder with your tongue, because Jesus takes it another step. He says, look, even if you ponder it in your heart, if you get it and you don't do it, now I'm holding you responsible for that. I want to clean up the way you think, not just your behavior. I want you to, why did Jesus say that? Why did he say if a man lusts in his heart, if he does that, that's the same as committing the act of fornication? Why did he say that? Was he only dealing with sexual sin? No, he was dealing with the heart. He wanted us to know, if you can let me change your heart, then I'll change your behavior. So if I want God's plan and vision working in my life, it matters that I make moral decisions. It matters that I obey his commands, all right? You know I believe in grace, and I preach grace and mercy, and I tell you, in a heartbeat, we are not about rules and regulation, and we're not about religion. But these commands are here to protect us to keep us in God's plan for our life. And although we're never going to perfect it, we are to strive toward that. And here's how Jesus says to do it. He says, here's how you do it. I'm going to sum this up for you. All the commands, all the law, which includes the moral commands. Love the Lord your God. First of all, we leave this out sometimes. Know that the Lord is one. Know that there is only one God. Know that he is the God in your life. Now, love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. If you will do that, you will keep the moral commands that I've given you. He said, here's a second command that's going to sum up all of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll do those two, you're not going to lie on your neighbor if you love them. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to do any of these. Do you see the motivation of love? Which is why our motto here at Life Church, or our purpose statement here at Life Church, is love God, love people, love life. If we're striving toward that, like Jesus said, then we are going to be in the moral will of God. Okay? I got to hurry up. The personal will of God is the third thing that we see. The personal will of God in our lives, this contains the vision God has for your individual life, okay? I want his individual vision for my life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I refer to this scripture a lot when I'm preaching. You should recognize it, but this is a good one for you to learn. Scripture memory, memorize this scripture, okay? And if you haven't started memorizing scripture, you should start doing that. It'll change your life. It will blow you away how the Holy Spirit will bring that back to you. You will memorize Proverbs, and I paraphrase memorize, but there's a Proverbs that says, even a fool is thought wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Man, I need the Holy Spirit to speak that to me sometimes, don't you? And he will. You'll be right in the middle of something, and you'll choose to be quiet instead of doing what you've always done in the past. Okay. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Okay? Trust in the Lord. I got to hurry up. I got 1 minute. Okay. If you want God's personal will enacted in your life, you're going to have to trust him. Put your trust in him. You can't trust your own efforts. You can't trust what you see. You can't trust what anybody else is telling you. You can't trust the advice of someone else, but trust him. Trust him in your finances. Well, how do I show that trust? Well, first of all, I'm going to give him what's his. I'm going to give him my tithe because that belongs to him. Then I'm going to honor him in my finances now by not living above my means. I'm not going to live in debt. I'm not going to covet and get into, somebody needs to go to Financial Peace University. Amen. I do want to recommend that, okay? Trust him. I'm going to trust him in my relationships. I'm going to trust him with my children, my grown children, who I can't parent anymore. But I'm going to parent them in the spirit by trusting God with them. So he says, put your trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding. Let go of what you thought life was, what you thought it was going to be, what your will is, and lean on him. Remember, we said this, your understanding will not bring peace. Okay? As a matter of fact, we are told that when we bring our request and our prayers to God with thanksgiving, that there will be a peace of God that comes into our life that goes beyond our understanding. Do you recognize that? The verse says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, okay? So lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Here's how I'm getting God's personal will in my life. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to submit to him, which means in every instance in my life in decision making, I am going to submit to your will. I'm going to acknowledge that your way is best. And here's the deal. I'm going to do what you say. Do you want to know his personal will for consideration or for participation? Now, that's the key right there. It's one thing to know his will. It's another thing to do his will, to let it be participating in my life. I'm going to participate in the will of God. Would you stand with me? He has a personal vision, plan, and will for your life. James says, don't just consider his will, do his will. The way he says it is, don't just be a hearer of the word and deceive yourself, but be a doer of the word. So God has a will for your life. He has a providential will, a moral will, and a personal will. And we can enact those things in our life. We can believe and trust in his providential will. We can know that our obedience matters when it comes to his moral will. It matters. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what that would mean to us? That your obedience is more important than what you look like on Sunday morning. Your obedience is more important than what people think about you, or whether or not you raise your hands, or whether or not you look spiritual. Because anybody can make a sacrifice, but only God knows if your heart is obedient. Okay? So our moral will, of the moral will of God, is dependent upon our obedience. And then the personal will, trust him, acknowledge him, and let him make your path straight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your will. And we pray right now that your will be enacted in our lives. Father, we pray that we would recognize your providential will, that you will do what you say. It shall come to pass. Lord, we trust in it, and we're going to live knowing that. God, for our moral decisions, forgive us, cleanse us for making decisions that have taken us out of your will. Somebody needs to just pray that with me. God, forgive me for doing things that has taken me out of your will. I've sinned. And corporately, we ask you to forgive us for our sin. Guide us in a way that we obey your moral commands. And Lord, for the personal invitation to greatness that you have for each of us through your personal will for us and your vision for our life, Lord, we submit to that in the name of Jesus. We call on you and ask you to reveal it and let us walk in it and let us participate in it, not just talk about it. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a long time since I went 5 minutes over, but Trey took them. I'll get them back from you. 5 minutes. I'm blaming it on him. May God bless you and keep you. May he keep his hand upon you and keep you safe. When you rise in the morning, when you walk during the day, and when you lay down at night, may his peace cover you like a blanket. I love you. Don't miss this Sunday. It's going to be special. I want all of you to be here. I'm going to put a video on Facebook, and I want you to see it this week on why you need to be here this Sunday, okay? All right. We'll see you Sunday. Love you.